Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, August 19th, 2015, episode 11.05, the preseason week 2 preview show. What's up, good people? September 10th cannot get here soon enough, and not just because it's my birthday, because the NFL season kicks off and the games actually mean something. Week 1 of the preseason is over, and all it did was whet my appetite for, guess what? More football! Hey, Commissioner Goodell, are you listening? Enough, stop messing around with all this Deflategate court nonsense and shorten the preseason already. I want games that matter, and I want them now. Oh, first of all, thank you, everybody listening and watching on Periscope. The little camera right there introduces you into my little rave cave haven where I do my podcast. So for those of you who have clicked the link on Twitter and are joining me and watching me, thank you very much. I appreciate you following along as I record episode 11.05, the first show of NFL Rants and Raves to be broadcast via Periscope. So thanks for watching. Today I'll be talking about a report that says Eli Manning wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. And then today Eli puts the kibosh on that report. I'll talk about that. So many season-ending injuries already plaguing the NFL. The Carolina Panthers were hit hard today as they lost their top wide receiver. What's going on with training camps and fighting, all of that nonsense and those shenanigans? I'll talk about how we can stop all of the training camp fights. Do two simple things. I'll tell you what those are a little bit later on. And James Harrison is back in the news, and this time he's fighting trophies. That's right, trophies. I'll tell you what I mean by that. And I wish that this whole Brady versus the NFL stuff would just go away. Are we reaching the point, kind of like a few years ago with the Brett Favre, will he, won't he, is he going to retire at some point? It's getting to that threshold, isn't it? This whole Tom Brady starting off the morning with it every morning. I'm getting tired of it. Once again, thank you for joining me on Periscope. Let's chop it in, people. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. All right, I don't think you guys on Periscope could hear that little intro. That was the intro of the show, but that's what. Welcome inside the Rave Cave. You can kind of see the helmets up behind me. This is the NFC. AFC is over there, kind of out of picture. You can't really see them. And I'm missing my Seattle Seahawks helmet. Why? Because 2 years ago on Radio Row at the Super Bowl in New York, some thief stole it. That's right. Thank you very much, thief. Bring me back my Seattle Seahawks mini helmet. I'll have to get one soon. I didn't get one last year, and then I couldn't take them to the Super Bowl and made me angry. But I will replace it. I will replace it. I promise. So I'm trying this new thing with Periscope. I could kind of see a few of you. There's a handful of people that have joined in. Thanks a lot for watching. Recording episode 11.05. I'm going to get right to it. First off, I'd like to thank and congratulate Doc Rob Olson, who last week won the Houston Texans running back Arian Foster mini fathead tradable when I spun the show donor random wheel of fun. So congratulations. Later on in the show, I will spin the random wheel again. And this week's mini fathead tradable is Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell mini tradable. So thanks again, all you show donors. I actually have gotten several new show donors to start this season. I really appreciate you. You see all the equipment. You see everything that happens to put on the podcast for you guys. And I thank you for continuing to support the show. Thank you very much. So that's Le'Veon Bell, mini tradable. We'll do the show donor random wheel of fun a little bit later on in the show. First of all, let's get right to the New York Giants. Eli Manning, a report comes out that Eli said, or someone in Eli's camp said, that he wanted to be the highest paid player in the National Football League. And of course, Everybody reacted. Everybody was like, are you freaking kidding me? He wants to be what? The highest paid what? It's Eli freaking Manning, for crying out loud. It's not like it's his brother Peyton. He wants to be the highest paid NFL player? Well, everybody had their opinion on that. Does he deserve it? Does he not deserve it? He's got two Super Bowl wins, but he has kind of led the league in interceptions the last couple of years. Giants really have kind of underachieved. Does Eli Manning deserve to be the highest paid quarterback in the league? And all of a sudden today, put on the brakes. Eli Manning says, hey, I never said that. That didn't come out of my mouth. That didn't come out of my agent's mouth. That report is bunk. And I'm kind of with Eli. I usually don't ever agree with Eli Manning, but one thing that the Mannings are not is they're not liars. And if he says that he didn't say that, as his actual quote was, the reports are all wrong. He said, that's never been said. It's never come out of my mouth. I've never said it to my agent. I don't know where people are getting their information. And he also reiterated that his agent never said that to anybody. So once again, it's a player who's kind of pointing the finger at the media and saying, you guys made up the report. And I'm actually going to believe Eli on this one. I'm going to believe that he doesn't want to be the highest paid player. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe Eli Manning wants to get paid. He wants a contract extension. He knows that his, you know, his days are numbered, if you will. But he's a young guy. And not necessarily that he needs to be the highest paid quarterback, but I'd say he needs to be in the top 10. I would agree with him with that. He does have two Super Bowl rings. And you know, a lot of people say, well, what have you done for me lately? You know, Janet Jackson song. Well, you know, he hasn't done a whole lot. He hasn't looked a whole lot. But in his defense, he hasn't had a whole lot to work with either. He hasn't had running backs. He hasn't had an offensive line that has protected him worth anything. And last year, Victor Cruz got hurt. And, yeah, you had the rookie sensation of Odell Beckham Jr., and he looked really good. But the bottom line is Eli was really struggling because he was getting hit a lot, and he didn't have a lot of weapons. The weapons that he did have, some of those tight ends, he'd hit them right in the hands, and they dropped the football. There were a lot of fumbles on that football team. So you can't really put all the blame of the New York Giants' woes on Eli Manning. So I'm going to give him a pass. I'm going to agree with him and believe him when he says those reports were not generated by him or his camp. I'm going to go with him on that. But the fact of the matter is, he still needs a new contract. I think the Giants will give him something. I don't believe he will be the highest paid player in the league. I don't believe he deserves to be the highest paid player in the league. But he will get his Manning dollars. Trust me, I assure you of that. It's coming. All right, injuries, injuries, injuries. People, injuries are getting out of control. Calvin Benjamin today, torn ACL, the MRI showed. He will miss the season for the Carolina Panthers, which leads me to say, ouch, for Cam Newton, because who does the brother have to throw the football to now? I mean, they really got, who are they going to call? T.O.? I mean, he's doing reality TV shows, right? They're doing a football life on NFL Network on T.O. But I'm going to have to seriously take a look at that roster for the Carolina Panthers. And with him being out with a torn ACL, that's really got to hurt. Ron Rivera's got to be saying, what do I have to do to get a wide receiver that will stick with me throughout the entire season? And maybe, Ron, you shouldn't have let Steve Smith go. That's just me. I said that last year when you let him go. I'll say it again just one more time. Maybe you shouldn't let Steve Smith go. This is the guy who torched you for two touchdowns last year when you played against the Ravens. But that without saying, they're going to have to go and do something to find a wide receiver, because with Benjamin out the whole season, you got a whole bunch of young guys there in Carolina, that house. But I want to talk more about the injuries, not just the Carolina Panthers. This is devastating news for the Panthers and Cam Newton. But already, and we've only played 1 week of the preseason, and there's only been 2 weeks of someone on Periscope is saying, I'm a Falcons fan, so I'm not about, he's not mad about that. I see it. I understand that. You're right. You're a Falcons fan, so you're probably okay with Cam and the Panthers getting some injuries. But let's talk about injuries here. The the season is not even anywhere close to starting. We think we got 22 days before kickoff, the first week of the kickoff? 22 days, and already 11 players, that's double-digit players, have been injured and are already out for the entire season. That's season-ending injuries, 11. That's outrageous. Now, there's about another 15 to 20 players that are questionable to start the season because of an injury. And I'm not even talking about Geno Smith, who got sucker punched, broke jaw. He's out 6 to 10 weeks. I'm not even talking about him. I'm talking about players that got injured either on the practice field or in a preseason game, and they're going to miss some time. Ouch, that's got to hurt. Here's the thing with what I believe is happening to these players, and I'll go back to a few years ago when I had Jeff Ellis, my colleague, on the show, and he said, with the new CBA, the players are practicing less amount of time for the players to practice, and that's, I think, is what's seriously contributing to these injuries. When you don't go hard in pads as much as they used to before this new CBA, they just go with the shells and they don't hit as much and their bodies aren't taking that toll. Their bodies aren't getting used to that toll of getting hit time after time after time. And then all of a sudden you put them in pads, they go out there, they get a hit, boom. Their body's not used to the hits anymore. And now it's like, man, I'm getting hit and my body's not taking it. So I think maybe the CBA, which the players all saw as a win for them, is actually causing them injuries, causing them more pain, and is actually a loss for them. I think that's maybe what's happening. And this isn't even counting guys that are suspended for the first few weeks of the season. All I got to say is, ouch. You've got 32 teams, 31 players, 11 of them are out, another 20 of them are questionable for the start of the season. That means one player per team is probably not going to be available for the start of the season before the season even gets going. And that's got to hurt. And maybe the league needs to look into that and possibly modify something for the players where, like, hey, maybe we need to practice more. Maybe we need that time. Maybe they'll go out and take a look at that. That's certainly something to not discount. Now, I'm going to take a second here to drink. This is not a show sponsor, by the way, yet. Pepsi. But Pepsi, if you are watching, by all means, I still need a sponsor for the show. I drink you while I do the show, so I would appreciate it if maybe you would consider giving me a shot. Now, that being said, let's move on to training camp fights. Another rash that's going on in the NFL right now. I think it's a little it's a little weird that all of a sudden this year there are so many teams that are having a workouts and training camp participation with other teams. As a matter of fact, right now the New Orleans Saints and the New England Patriots are playing against each other. The most recent fight, though, came between the Dallas Cowboys and the St. Louis Rams. They got at it. They had to actually stop their practice because they got at it so bad. So many people were throwing punches and haymakers out of control that the coaches just said, you know what, we're done. Let's cancel the rest of the practice. We'll move on. We'll go to our side. You go to your side, and we'll be done with the rest of practice. There are so many that have happened. The Dolphins went at it. Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, they got into a scuffle. The New York Jets went at it. The Houston Texans and the Washington Redskins, they had a joint session. They went at it. And what is happening every time this happens? Reporters, media, they're there with their phones and their iPhones and their little mini cameras. And then all of a sudden, this is everywhere. It is on the web. It is online. NFL Network is reporting it. ESPN is reporting it. Fox Sports, NBC Sports Network, everybody's got it. Fight, fight, fight. And there's all that aggression, and everybody's like, ooh, that's cool. Look, there's a fight. There's a fight. Boom, boom. Get him, get him, get him. And the thing is that people want that. It's like, ooh. And so a player's thinking, yeah, nothing's going to happen to me because I'm in a fight and my teammates are going to protect me and my coaches are going to protect me and I'm going to be all right. even after the league sent a memo to all 32 teams, enough with the fighting, even after a teammate broke the jaw of the starting quarterback of the team, enough is enough. Here's how you stop it. One, you don't allow the media, and especially your own network, NFL Network, to show the fights on TV anymore. Stop it. Don't show the fights. Don't glorify it. Don't make it glamorous. One, that's a deterrent. Two, if a player swings at a punch at another player, he is gone. I don't care who he is. I don't care what position he plays. He is gone. He is suspended, possibly for 2 or 3 games, and then he has to come back, and if he does it again a second time, you're out of the league because there is no place for fight. You want to fight? Go box. There's a whole bunch of people who want to box out there. You just go box. There's boxing, or there's UFC, or MMA, or whatever, all that martial arts. You want to go punch somebody, go get in a ring with somebody, and go mano a mano. This is football. We are here right now during training camp. You're wasting my time because I got to break up a fight, and I'm trying to run a goal line stance here. That is unacceptable. You suspend the guy for 2 or 3 games. If he does it a second time, you're out. See you later. We don't got time for you. There's another good player waiting in line to take your spot. That's how you do it. Stop showing it on TV and glorifying it. Suspend the player. Couple of games. Does it a second offense. You're gone. No second chances. 2 strikes and you're out. This ain't baseball. Whoo, that's probably the first rant of the season right there you heard from me. First rant of the season. That got me good. It got me good. I'm tired of seeing the fights. And no, this has nothing to do with Dez Bryant taking a punch to the face without his helmet. Yo, Dez, if fight breaks out next time, put your helmet on, man. Come on, dog. Oh, gosh. All right. I'm going to bring it down a little bit. All right, Rants. I like that. Hey, Denny JK, Jenny JX. Yeah. Ranting way too much today, but I got an interesting one here. This one is I'm not sure where I land. I think I'm right on the middle. But if you haven't seen this story, basically this is what happened. James Harrison, 92 of the Pittsburgh Steelers, he posted on Instagram 2 trophies that his sons, and now his sons are aged 8 and 6, okay? And these were participation trophies that his sons got. And he took a picture of them, he put them on Instagram, and he said the following. He said, "I came home to find out that my boys received 2 trophies for nothing, participation trophies. While I'm very proud of my boys for everything they do, and I'll encourage them till the day I die, these trophies will be given back until they earn a real trophy." All right. Then he goes on and he rants a little bit more. He says, "I'm not sorry for believing that everything in life should be earned. I'm not about to raise 2 boys to be men by making them believe they're entitled to something just because they tried their best. Because sometimes your best isn't enough. And that should drive you to want to do even better. Not cry and whine until someone gives you something to shut you up and keep you happy." And so first of all, I want to say this. I saw James Harrison in the locker room after Super Bowl 45 when the Pittsburgh Steelers had just lost to the Green Bay Packers. So I understand when James says, "I didn't earn anything," and it hurt. And Jeff, I think the quote that he kept giving Jeff over and over and over in that locker room on that day after the Super Bowl was, "It hurts. It hurts." And he just said that over and over again. Yeah, it hurts. He didn't get a trophy for participating in the Super Bowl. He lost. They got whipped by the Packers. And James understands that. We should have been better that day. And it maybe makes the Pittsburgh Steelers strive to be better. And so I think he then understands. He comes home. What you get trophies for? Did you win MVP? Were you the best player in the league? Did you most touchdowns in the season? You just got it for playing? Now, I'm not going to say how old I am, But I played in the league when peewee football and all the kind of like the minor leagues before you got to, you know, playing in high school and college and stuff. I don't ever remember getting a trophy just because I was on a team. Never happened. You got trophy. I think I got a trophy once for most improved player. I was pretty proud of that because I went from like bench dude to starting wide receiver on the team. So that made me very happy. I was most improved. I went from being a scrub, never played, to playing all the time, first string wide receiver and catching some pretty decent passes, making some touchdowns. I understand that. I was very proud of that trophy because I felt I earned it throughout the whole season. And we do sort of kind of like live in an environment now where it's like, hey, you tried. Even though you couldn't swing a bat, but you tried. You were out there. You tried. Here's a trophy. And I can see both sides, but I'm going to kind of side a little bit with James Harrison. I don't think that helps anybody because all it does is it's going to start showing people, or in this case, the youth, hey, I'm going to get a trophy. No, I'm in there trying. I'm going to get a trophy, right? No, that's not how life is. And I think that's where we kind of mislead our kids a little bit with those participation trophies. Look, I work for a company. I work pretty hard. And I'm actually going to tell this story. I know some of my colleagues are watching and going to listen to this podcast. But I'm going to tell the story. I worked my butt off last year for my company. Worked overtime whenever they needed me to. Made some pretty big moves of people in the IT sector and moved over 1,000 people from one location to another. Had to work the overtime on the weekends and the nights and the late nights. And I did all of that stuff. I incorporated a new system, a new ticketing system and I worked with it and I made sure that it worked for us. And I went above and beyond. And when review time came on a scale of 1 through 5, I got a 3. Meant that the 3 was average. And so I only got the minimum raise. Look, I got a raise. I'm happy about it. But I was expecting after everything that I did and all the transitions that I made from one location to the next location to the next location, I felt that I worked a little bit harder than just being average. So I didn't get the participation trophy just because I did my job and I thought I went above and beyond. I thought I went above and beyond, and that wasn't good enough to get, boom, the promotion, the next job, the next step up, get the 4 and the bigger pay raise. Was I disappointed? Heck yeah. And now I made a decision. I got to work even harder than it. That apparently is what the norm is for this position. If I want the 4 and the 5 next time, I got to do a little bit more. And I went to my boss and said, what is that little bit more? What is that extra that I need to do above and beyond everything that I did last time to get to that 4 and a 5? I've now learned what that I need to do that 4 and a 5, and I'm doing it now so that when reviews come around at the end of this year, I will have done the 4 and the 5 so that I can get that bigger step in my salary bump and that review and hopefully even a promotion. And that means that I got better because I didn't get the participation trophy. Had I just done all the work that I did last year and gotten the bump in the raise, I'd be like, well, this is cush. I could do that all the time, and I'm just going to keep getting 4s and 5s. Well, you learn the hard way in life that, no, that's not true. You just can't show up and try your best and get a trophy. And I think that's what James is showing. Now, I know that there's a whole bunch of trophy companies out there that are yelling and screaming and saying, oh, he's wrong. He doesn't understand the value of giving something to a kid for being out there and, you know, earning it. Well, there's different schools of that. I think that my daughters, when I was coaching their little league teams, I made sure that when they got a game ball, they earned it. I was pretty tough on my girls because it was special. What I did is that at the end of every game, not everybody got a game ball. One person did. And they had to do something spectacular in that game for them to earn it. And my oldest daughter, who was a pretty good little leaguer, she was like, Dad, when am I going to get a
a game ball. And I was like, well, you got to get out there and you got to earn it, sweetie. You got to go out there. You got to get some hits. You got to make sure you're fielding. You got to make sure you're running and hustling and doing some of the things that some of those other kids are doing. And sure enough, she came in a day. She went 3 for 3, had a couple doubles and a triple, scored it, I think had 4 RBIs that game, made a couple great plays out in the outfield, and she earned it. I mean, literally, I was going through the roster that day, so I was like, I've got to give it to my kid. She earned it. I was very happy that she went out and she hustled and she busted her butt so that she earned a game ball that season. And I think there's something good in that as well. So I think James Harrison is getting a little bit of flack because guess what? It's James Harrison. And James Harrison is known for what? Being a bad guy and hitting hard and hitting low and knocking guys out. And so whenever he's trying to do a parenting moment, he's getting brought down for it. But look, the thing is, too, I don't know if it's necessary for James Harrison to broadcast out to the whole world, oh, look at me, I'm doing a parenting thing by saying no to my boys. Aren't I a swell dad? I don't know if he needs to do that. Come on, James. But maybe James needs a hug and a little pat on the back as well for being a good father. I don't know. Let's leave that. I think this is the thing. Back to my beginning rant at the very beginning. Just bring us more football. Enough with this preseason nonsense, because we got to talk about stories like this, James Harrison and trophies and whether it's good or bad to give them to everybody who plays. All right. Final note on Tom Brady and the NFL. This has gotten out of hand. The judge keeps saying, get back to it. Go out there and please make a settlement, because if it comes down to me, it's probably going to go September 4th, September 5th. I don't know if I could turn it around that quick. The league's come out and said that his suspension will start September 5th. That's the final day where the teams have to cut down to 53 players. That's when the suspension starts if there's no ruling from the judge. I think the judge has a horrible decision that he's got to make here. Either way, the judge rules. If he vacates the suspension, it's bad for the NFL, good for the players. If he doesn't vacate the suspension, it's good for the NFL and the owners, bad for the players. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. It's not going to be pretty, because the problem that if they let the judge decide, it's one way or the other. It's no cut down to 2-game suspension. None of that. It's either he's suspended for 4 games, live with it, or you can't suspend him for that. NFL, you live with it. The problem is that the NFL needs to do something now before it gets to that point, because Tom Brady needs to serve a suspension. Whether you believe he did it or not, or had anything to do with it or not, or was involved or not, the fact of the matter, when it came down for him to help the investigation proceed, he decided to obstruct important data by not allowing them to see his phone. That certainly does not look good. It does not look good. I don't care who you are. You don't give over data. It looks bad. So wherever you are on this, the fact of the matter is that Tom Brady needs to serve some kind of suspension. I hope the NFL understands this. I hope they know and they realize that, hey, we have got to make sure that Tom Brady at least serves a 2 or 3-game suspension. Let's try to settle, because if his suspension gets vacated and we lose, we're going to look awful, and suspensions from here on out are going to be fought till tooth and nail until we're done and blue in the face. So I hope it's over soon. I really do. But it probably is going to go right up to the beginning of the season, first week of September, and then we'll have a decision, because I don't think either side is going to cave in. All right, I'm going to take a second here to kind of show you around the Rave Cave. I'm going to come over and put the podcast on hold so that I can show the rest of the Rave Cave to all of the viewers on Periscope. Okay, we're back. If you were watching on Periscope tonight, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I went about 30 minutes. That's about as long as you kind of want to go with Periscope, I think. I don't want to go any much further than that. I've only got a little bit of football to talk about. Week 2 preseason is upon us. That starts tomorrow night with some Thursday night football, 2 games there. We'll talk about that and the rest of the schedule. But first, before we do that, let's get to the Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune, not Wheel of Fortune. Show donors random Wheel of Fun. All right, we're going over to random.org. Remember that. And remember, tonight I am giving away the mini tradable fathead of Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell. And the result of that is in, let's check it out, to 58. Show donors, take a look at your numbers that were emailed out to you previously. I'm looking at my list right now to see who 58 is. Sharon Chandran. Sharon, S-H-A-R-A-N, Chandran. Sharon Chandran. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. I apologize. Sharon is number 58 on the show donors list. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sharon, I'll send you an email because I don't think that we have your address on file. So look out for an email, and I'll let you know that you have won the Le'Veon Bell mini fathead. I'd like to mail that to you as soon as possible. Once again, thank you very much for your yearly donation that you give to NFL Rants and Raves. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. So that is that for the show donors. Oh, and there's actually a new show donor that I need to address with. Hopefully you're listening. Dominic Boucher. Dominic Boucher, I received your donation. Thank you very much. I tried to email you out a number, and I sent you another welcome email, and they both bounced back. I won't give your email online. It came from Tucson, Arizona, though. So, Dominic, if you're listening, please reach out to me another way with another different email address, because the one that you used to send the donation in wouldn't let me send you a reply. So, and thank you very much for the kind donation. I really, as I said, appreciate it. You guys are the best listeners. All right. Before I leave you, I'd like to talk a little bit about week 2 in the NFL. And we'll start with the Thursday night games. The Detroit Lions will travel to our nation's capital to play the Washington Redskins, as well as the Buffalo Bills will play the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. That Bills-Browns is going to be interesting. I suspect Rex Ryan is going to try and throw everything but the kitchen sink, and maybe even the kitchen sink, at Johnny Manziel when he gets on there. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles that kind of pressure, and can he actually handle that kind of pressure. So it'll be a good litmus test for Cleveland Brown quarterbacks going up against Rex Ryan's defense there in Cleveland against the Buffalo Bills. Friday, there's another 2 games. The Jets host the Atlanta Falcons, and the Kansas City Chiefs host Seattle. Things to watch in those games: what the heck are the New York Jets doing at quarterback? They said today that they signed Matt Flynn. Now, if you know anything about Matt Flynn, you know that this guy pulled a rabbit out of a hat when he was the backup quarterback to Aaron Rodgers. He went abracadabra, threw for 5 or 6 touchdown passes against the Giants, and everybody went goo-goo-gaga over him. Seattle paid him a boatload of money, and then it turned out, well, maybe he's not our guy. And he wasn't. Never really played for them. Went to Oakland, didn't work out there. Went back to Green Bay last year, and he started the camp this year with the New England Patriots. So they cut him. They cut him, and they brought in Ryan Lindley. That's how much they thought of Matt Flynn there in New England. And now he's wound up with the New York Jets. Of course, they need a quarterback because their starting quarterback got his jaw broken. Oh, those tricky, tricky New York Jets. So what are they going to do at quarterback? That's going to be interesting to watch. And Atlanta's looking pretty good offensively. Let's see how the defense responds this week going up against the Jets. Kansas City's got an interesting game as well against Seattle. That's Friday night. And the Seahawks just keep getting players. I don't know where they come from. They just keep getting players. Obviously, the big signing this offseason was Jimmy Graham. Now they've got a tight end to bring in the swagger to that team that already has swagger on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe he's trying to give them swagger on the offensive side of the ball. And he's going to catch a lot of passes too. So it'll be interesting to see and fun to see those guys play against Kansas City. Saturday, there are, 8 games on Saturday. Some matchups that you'll be interested in. The Ravens defense versus Chip Kelly's offense. Baltimore at Philly. Can the Ravens D stop this offense that literally likes to snap the ball every second? If they could, it would be every second. That's an exaggeration, but they do snap the ball very quickly. Something like 18 to 20 seconds in between plays. Another good game. The New England Patriots will be at New Orleans to play the Saints. And the big question is Jimmy going to do better? And no, not Jimmy Graham. As I said, he's off in Seattle. Jimmy Garoppolo. That's right. The backup quarterback for the New England Patriots, who doesn't know whether he'll play or not. He's looking like he'll be ready to play the first 4 games, but ready only in mind and spirit. Not sure physically he'll be ready because he didn't look all that good last week. Let's see if he does better. Sunday, there are 3 games. The Green Bay Packers going to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. The Cowboys are visiting the San Francisco 49ers, and that's going to be good to watch as well. Although the reports are that Tony Romo won't play if the starting offensive line isn't healthy enough to go week 2 of the preseason. Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, a couple of others have had some injuries. Travis Fredrickson. Fredericks, they've had some injuries there on the front line. And if they're not available to play against the Niners on Sunday, the Cowboys won't play Tony Romo. Then, of course, week 2 of the preseason ends on Monday night with Monday Night Football, when the Cincinnati Bengals travel to Chicago to face the Bears. That will be fun to watch just because it's the Bears, and everybody keeps talking about Jay Cutler and whether Jay Cutler can do something for the Bears. I think this is Cutler's swan song with Chicago. Unless the Chicago Bears actually win the Super Bowl, I doubt, seriously, that he stays with the team. Look, Jay Cutler has gone through 2 coaching staffs, okay? Here comes a third. He ran Lovie Smith out of town. He ran Mark Trestman out of town. Here comes John Fox. If he cannot get it done with Fox at the head coaching position, he's not going to get it done in Chicago, and it's going to be done for Jay Cutler. That's the reality of life for Cutler. He came to the Bears in 2009, and he started 16 games that year. Since then, he hasn't been able to play 16 games. 15 after that, 10, 15, 11, and 15 games last year. So in the last 4 years of Lovie Smith, he didn't play. He only played in all 16 games once, and he really didn't get Lovie where he wanted to go. Lovie gets tossed even after posting winning records those last couple of years. In comes Mark Trestman, 2013-2014 seasons. Not very good for the Chicago Bears in those seasons. And Jay Cutler once again stays as the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, and Trestman is gone. Now, as I said, here comes John Fox. He's going to say, all right, let's go. Let's try to get this done with Jay Cutler. If Jay Cutler cannot do it this season, and the Bears cannot get it done with Cutler at the helm, Fox isn't going to say, all right, let's keep him another year. Fox is going to be like, look, let me get a quarterback that I want, that can work with me, that I can work with, so we can give you a winning football team. Because I'm not going to get run out of town because I don't have the quarterback that I want. I inherited this quarterback. And he's going to make everyone immediately aware that he inherited that quarterback. And that's the way it's going to be. So Jay Cutler could very well be playing his last season as a Chicago Bear, especially if he can't get it going. And, you know, the fact that, you know, they lost their rookie wide receiver, Kevin White, he has to have leg surgery. Dude, this was the 7th overall pick in the draft. He's got a stress fracture. So the weapon that they thought they might be getting, they're not going to have him anytime soon. It's going to be a hard climb, uphill climb for Jay Cutler, and he's got to get it done this year. Otherwise, I don't see him with the Bears in 2016. And that's Monday Night Football against the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Dalton will be out there dueling. I hope that we get to see a little bit of the first string offense of the Cincinnati Bengals in that game, at least maybe for a series or two. That's the hope. And that's week two. That's week two of the preseason. Don't see any other games really that kind of – I forgot to say, on Saturday, the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans, if you're not watching Hard Knocks on HBO, training camp with the Houston Texans, it's a lot of fun. J.J. Watt and Will Fork are fun to watch. I got to be honest. I'm a little surprised. I wasn't expecting this show with that team to be as good as it is. It's pretty good. There's a lot of interesting storylines. I love to see how the coaches get after these players. So check it out. And this week they host the Denver Broncos. So that should be a lot of fun, especially with all the Hard Knocks cameras running around there. Then let's see, any other games? Oh, you know what? I read the schedule wrong. So for me saying that it was Bengals at Bears, it's actually Bengals at Bucks on Monday Night Football. Look at that. All that me talking about the Bears and Jay Cutler, and they're not even playing Monday Night Football. It's Cincinnati at Tampa Bay. The Bears play Indy. They're in Indianapolis. Well, you could talk about Jay Cutler now because he's going against one of the best in the league in Andrew Luck. So Bears at Colts on Saturday, Bengals at Bucks on Monday Night Football. At 8 p.m. Pacific time. Wow, that's pretty late. Is that Pacific time or is that Eastern? Eastern time. It's got to be Eastern time. Yeah, Eastern time. 8 p.m. Eastern. I can't even read my schedules today, people. That's how crazy it is. Before I leave here, if you have signed up for fantasy football, thank you very much. I am going to have all of the draft schedules hopefully done by this evening, definitely by tomorrow, so I can post it out. There are no drafts this weekend, but they start the following weekend, and they're going to go pretty quickly because we're about 22 days out, people. 22 days out till football games count and matter and are for reals. So, once again, at the beginning of the show, the first 30 minutes, for those of you watching on Periscope, thank you for joining me. That was a little fun. Kind of got the butterflies out of the stomach there. Wasn't quite sure how I was going to handle that, but that was pretty cool. And for those of you who continue to listen throughout the rest of the podcast, thank you very much. Congratulations to, what was the name again? Sharon? That's right. Sharon Chandran. Thank you very much for the donation, and congratulations on your Le'Veon Bell, which I've got here. Woo, Le'Veon Bell mini fathead. That's pretty good. He's kind of doing the Heisman Trophy pose in this. Pretty cool thing there. Thank you very much for listening. Week two, hopefully, will not have many injuries. I really hate to see players that are working hard go down with injury. But just Kelvin Benjamin. I still can't get over that poor kid's not going to be able to play the rest of the season. That's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Cleveland, but Carolina. But as you know, some people say, they're Falcons fans, so who cares? I'm Stephen Miranda, and you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Thank you. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Make sure you go out to www.NFLRantsAndRaves to check that out. And follow us now on Periscope so you know when I am on recording the show and doing some cool stuff from the web. I'm going to be using Periscope when I go around to camps and games this season. It will be a lot of fun. Once again, you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves, and I'm Steven Miranda. Peace out.